Chub Fod goes hard.
Well, shit. What are y'all doing? This is awful. What? My mother hollering up the steps asking me who I'm talking to. I'm talking to my friends. Mama, quit bothering me. How much more of this can I take?
Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by the king of pranks, the albino alligator popcorn bitch, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Oh, hello.
Guys, Matt is here as well. Hello, Matt. And, guys, joining us via Skype, social distancing. Drunk, we didn't do a show last week. Can you tell the people whose fault it was that we did not do a show last week?
Not mine.
Carol fucking Baskin.
Okay. Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. We have one hell of a program for you tonight, guys. Let me tell you. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to be talking to,
I tell you what.
What, Trump?
Carol fucking Baskin. Okay.
We are not talking to Carol Baskin. Lou Brutus is going to be on the program. We're going to be talking to, Lou Brutus. Matt.
Yes, sir.
Do you see that you remember Martin Shkreli, the pharma bro?
Oh, yeah, pharma bro.
Matt, it was a big headline this week that Pharma Bro, he wants to get out of jail.
Well, yeah, who wouldn't want to get out of jail?
Been seeing
Can
a lot of that.
Refresh me really quick. Whatever happened to that Wu-Tang album that he bought?
I think that it went up for auction, Travis, because like all of his assets were seized.
Yeah, I think it was available like for download for free.
Oh, really? Oh, really? I missed that part.
I could have made that up, but I think that it got donated or something or. Yeah, I think, I don't know. I'm making stuff up.
Apparently, he's telling people, guys, this COVID thing, you guys got to let me out of jail. I don't want to get that. And I saw R. Kelly wants to get out of jail and Bill Cosby. Pretty much everybody, there's been an article recently that said that, hey, this guy's in jail and he wants to get out. And to that, I say, no shit. Right?
Yeah. No, that's Steve. We can let Stephen Avery out finally.
Skip it, guys. We don't need articles about who wants to get out of jail. Everyone in jail wants to get out of jail.
They are letting out some of the minor criminals, like the criminals
the
that
non-violent
are
non-violent offenders.
Yeah, for misdemeanors and shit like that.
They let that Takashi guy out, Matt. They put him on house arrest. They said, "Hey, man, just go chill out at home like everybody else." I mean, that's a good deal. And then it opened the floodgates and everybody was like, wait, I want to be out of jail too.
Yeah, I don't think we should be letting the cause out. I'm just saying. I don't think he should be out.
Drucky, you're social distancing. You're at home.
Just doing what all the cool kids are doing, you know, staying at home.
I mean, yeah, it's not just the cool kids. Like,
it's a trend, Matt.
No, it's not something that's just trending like you should be.
When you look back at 2020, that's what you're going to say that the new hotness was in 2020 was staying at home.
Right.
Okay, like, hey, look thing. At these guys in their uncut hair staying at home in the old 2020.
I am proud of you, Drunk, that you made the decision to social distance today.
Made me happy. I mean, I'm still essential, so I still got to go to work and whatnot. But.
I can't believe that you're essential. Like, what conversation are you guys having at work?
I'll tell you during the break, since we actually get to speak during the break today. It's funny.
It'll be a weird thing for you, Drunk. You get to hear the break conversation. Drunk,
I know,
report back.
They're always talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we keep hearing about how great these break conversations are, and you get to hear one.
Ooh. You're in for a treat tonight, buddy.
Yeah, you are.
I know, man.
I'm excited for you, Drunk, because from what I understand, the break conversation is like better than the show.
All right. Nobody ever said that.
The show.
They say it all the time, sure. Drunk. Well, they imply it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't even think it was implied. We have a lot of fun on the break, though.
It's such a good so time. Much fun.
Yeah.
These breaks. Matt.
Yes, sir.
Tigers are having a rough year.
Yeah, they got the COVID. Yeah. That happened. They got the COVID-19, and that's not good.
They got the Rona?
Yeah.
How many Tigers are we talking?
A few of them, and I guess some Lions, too,
They tested one, but, like, all the other ones are coughing, so they just assume they have it. But, like, they said, man, I mean, we're not going to test all the Tigers because that's just a fucking hassle. Let's just assume
they
all have it. Why are
we testing any of the Tigers? There's a lot of people who can't get this test.
Well, the Tigers were coughing, Travis. They were going, and you were like, whoa, whoa, why is that Tiger coughing?
I've been sick for almost 2 weeks, and I couldn't even get a doctor to see me, so.
You went to the clinic. What happened?
They turned me away.
I said,
I called the nurse line, first of all, because I'm like, I don't want to, I know they're trying to get people to avoid going to the clinic. Mm-hmm. So I called the nurse line and tell them all of my symptoms on the phone for like 20 minutes. They're like, oh, you know what? You're going to have to go in.
So Travis,
with your symptoms, you need to go in. And I said, but I didn't want to do that. They're like, well, you've had this too long. You got to go in. So the next morning I'm like, I guess I'm going in. So I pull into the clinic and I walk in. They're like, what are you doing here? And I said, I need to see somebody about these symptoms I have. What are your symptoms? And I explained my symptoms. They're like, yeah, we're being really cautious about this. Here's a piece of paper with a phone number on it. You need to go back to your vehicle, call this number, and they'll pre-approve you to come into the clinic. And I said, okay, that sounds great. So I go back to my vehicle and I spend 10 minutes on hold before I talk to somebody and have the same 20-minute conversation I had the night before with the nurse line, who says, oh, yeah, you don't have a fever, so have you thought about calling and doing, like, a phone appointment? And I said, I told you already. I called the nurse line last night to avoid coming to the clinic, and they told me I had to come into the clinic. And she's like, yeah, well, have you thought about doing an e-chat or something? I'm like, whatever. Thanks. Thank you. Goodbye.
So you hung up on him?
No, yeah. It was just like, I conceded. I said, yeah, okay, thanks for your time.
So we have a lot of people at work that once they get a symptom, and it's the sniffles, the coughs, the fever.
The crud,
you know,
Matt? Is the crud they
have
on the
to,
list?
Yeah, they have to go out. Like
the coronachondria?
Yeah, we have to tell them not to come into work until they get tested. And, of course, you know, some people, they don't have a doctor, so they can't get tested, but for the most part, as long as they can see their doctor online and they send them an order to get tested, and then they've been able to get tested. Now, it's been easier kind of as the weeks have progressed, I know, early on. But it's different tests. Like, I'm amazed at how many different types of tests there are. Like, first we had a drive-through where you could go get tested. Now CVS, in our area, has an instant test. Like, you can roll right up. As long as you have the order from the doctor, and they'll test you, and you get the results right then and there.
There's a guy on the Twitter, Matt, that posted a picture of like an antibody test he took, and he said, "Oh yeah, it says that I already had it." Like, there's a whole bunch of people replying saying, "Hey man, where did you get that test?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, they're available." I mean, no, they're not just available. What are you talking about? I think he might be full of shit, Matt, but maybe he's not.
Well, I think an antibody test is different than just the regular test that tests for corona, and I could be entirely wrong on that. But the antibody test is like you can get those, and they just check for like all sorts of illnesses. And I think that's always been available, but I think it takes some time, and they have to actually pull blood for that.
Yeah.
And again, could completely be making all of that up.
But he's like, yeah, man, I was sick in January. I already had it. Mm-hmm. Is what he got from that. He said he's still going to be precautious, but maybe that put your mind at ease a little bit. Be like, oh yeah, I probably already had it. I think I already
can. I tell you what this weird, you know, we don't go out much. I have two younger kids. So this self-quarantine, self-isolation shit's not that much different than my normal life. Short of the fact that, you know, sometimes you go out to eat and take the kids somewhere and do this and do that. Yeah. But otherwise, it's pretty similar to how we live our life. But it feels different, right? Like it feels different. And maybe because I was on vacation and then out of work pretty much for another like 2 weeks sick. But like I've been spending a lot of time staring at my phone while staring at the TV. And the first time ever, this is a first for me, is I was scrolling through Facebook and a targeted ad worked. I don't know if I'm just in my wrong frame of mind or what is happening. But I'm going through Facebook, and I would never buy anything from Facebook. I would always, ads on Facebook, forget it. But it hit me just right, and I hit this hot sauce ad that said, try the hot sauces from Hot Ones, the game show. And I was like, what? I'll look at that. So click through to that, go to the Heatness website, and I'm looking. I'm like, man, they have all three hot sauces from Hot Ones, the game show. And I was like, damn, I should get those.
Travis, why in a million years would you want to try like uncomfortably hot sauce?
Well, I don't know. I bought the Hot Ones, the Hot Ones YouTube show sauces too, because they say those aren't as hot because they can't feed celebrities those hot ass sauces. So long story short, a Facebook targeted ad got me to spend $100 on six bottles of hot sauce.
Wow.
Just to like make your mouth hurt and give you diarrhea.
Well, listen, I have this, the Cheese Factory next by us sells this scorpion cheddar, and I've had ghost pepper good. Cheese and stuff. Yeah.
Whoa. You have a Cheese Factory next to your house?
Oh, it's like literally get 3 minutes out down the road. Literally 3 minutes down the road.
Scorpion cheddar?
This scorpion cheddar is, I had to cut it super thin with our cheese slicer that we have because this shit is the real deal. Like, it'll burn your fucking tongue off. But because I was so sick with that sore throat for like a solid week where it just felt like I was swallowing razor blades wrapped in sandpaper, eating that hot ass scorpion cheese really was probably the best medicine I took all that week.
See, now, Matt, if you were to swallow a razor blade wrapped in sandpaper.
Hashtag stunt month.
That would be better than just swallowing a razor blade, wouldn't it? I mean, which would you rather, like if you had to do one, wouldn't you rather it be wrapped in sandpaper?
Not the sharp end. I'm saying the sides.
Oh.
The sides of the razor.
Oh, so like the blade is still out there. Yeah, that sounds swallowed. Awful, Travis, now that you put it that way.
Yeah, it was something I have never experienced. I'm a almost 40-year-old man, and this sickness that I had was brand new to me and not in a pleasant way.
Travis, they had to take this tiger and they had to like put it to sleep so that they could swab it. We were speculating about this the other day, like, you know, would they take its blood to do it? I read the article. They fucking put the guy to sleep so that they could swab his nose and his throat.
They euthanized the tiger before they checked it for COVID?
No,
oh, did I say put
no,
to sleep?
No, no,
I don't mean like put to like the permanent sleep, Travis, just like a temporary usually
when
sleep.
Usually when you say you put an animal to sleep, that's...
No, with the anesthesia.
All right,
is what
Anastasia.
They did. Yeah, and so wouldn't you be scared the whole goddamn time they'd wake up? I guess they're used to it, right? They're
professional.
Even when they wake up, they're groggy as shit.
Drunk. Do you want me to play my song to honor those heroes?
I do.
I swapped a tiger. Now I understand.
I swabbed a tiger who got COVID from a man.
I'm working on it. I'm workshopping it, guys. I'm hoping to release the full version earlier. But that's
I got to say I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that, yeah.
Yeah. So you know how to stop all this, right?
Drunk, do you have a theory?
You got to shut down those 5G towers. Oh, that's boy. What's giving the COVID-19.
I was reading something. Yeah. They were saying that like all of the rollouts, like, you know, 2G and 3G and 4G and 5G have coincided with a big sickness. Like, I think like the swine flu and all that was like when either 3G or 4G came out.
You can like see where they put up new cell phone towers when they release these new G's. And you usually see the nature around these towers usually burns up pretty naturally just based on the fact that these waves are cruising through trees and plant life and whatnot.
Travis, 4G was plenty fast and 5G just don't fucking work. Like when I get into 5G, nothing works. It says no internet. It sucks.
I've never had a problem with 4G.
No, 5G.
I don't know what the... I don't know. I know, but I'm saying I never had a problem with 4G.
Yeah, 4G is plenty fast.
I don't understand. Why did you add another G to the 4G?
I don't know.
Well, because, I mean, as technology gets better...
Like, how many megahertzes do you need in a flat screen, right?
All of them.
I have a security system in my house because I live in a...
Shithole?
CD part of town. And the security people, they called me and they said, hey, man, your security system is like a 3G and it's like way outdated. And we want to come and put a 5G thing in. And I was like, well, what'll that cost? They said, nothing. Don't worry about it. Okay. So they came in, they put it in, and then they charged me $500. And I've been calling those fuckers for 2 weeks being like, hey, you said it wasn't going to charge me nothing. And you charged me $500. What's going on? And they just said,
you're never going to financially recover from that, Mike.
Did your monthly bill go up too?
It went up $5. Yeah. Which they told me. And I was like, okay, whatever. But this $500 charge, I keep calling them and they keep saying, oh, well, we're going to escalate this.
Let me ask you one quick question. Why did the security bill, the monthly security bill, go up just because they converted it to a 5G connection?
I don't know, Travis. They said that it was
call you faster now.
They said that it was necessary. They said that the 3G, like, they wouldn't call the police as fast. And I mean, you know, in these home invasion situations, Travis, seconds count. And like, at no cost to me.
You just got to get a gun.
At no cost to me, Travis.
That's what I was thinking.
I know. Mike sounds like an infomercial for fucking handguns.
No shit. Every second counts. Get yourself a fucking Glock.
Well, I'm concerned about like
a bow and arrow or something. Yeah,
put a shotgun in the fucking hat closet.
If I'm not here, Travis, like, who will protect my belongings? The good folks.
Well, that's not really a home invasion then. That's like a burglary.
So you paid $500 and you don't even got a fancy doorbell?
Well, like it rings when my door opens. You know that. You've been here.
Yeah, but you don't got a fancy doorbell.
Oh, like the video thing?
To watch the packages and whatnot.
So somebody's trying to steal your Amazon Prime order.
No, the lady said that could be a situation where they would charge me extra if like I added cameras or something. But I don't care about cameras. I just don't want anybody to come in my house and steal my stuff.
That's why you just go to Menards. You got Menards? You go to Menards.
You save big money there, Travis, I hear, at Menards.
You save big money. You get yourself your own security system, and then you just call the cops.
Pawn shop and get one of those security systems that carry 6 bullets.
Okay.
Pop, pop, pop.
You sound like my dad drunk.
It's the only security you need. 5 in the clip and 1 in the chamber.
So while right. I'm calling the security people over and over again and getting nowhere, they just keep saying, oh, we're going to escalate this. And I was like, okay, escalate it. And they're like, yeah, somebody's going to call you in 3 to 5 days. Wait 3 to 5 days. Nobody fucking calls. So then I call them.
Well, especially right now. You're not getting any calls back now.
They said, oh, well, I can understand why you're upset about this. I'm going to escalate it. And I was like, you already fucking escalated it. Like, I think I'm going to eventually talk to like the owner. That's where it's going. Cause I keep escalating it and then nothing happens. But anyway, while all this is going on, my washing machine died. And I paid a guy to come out here, so I got guys in my house when we shouldn't have anybody in the house. The guy charged me $95 to tell me that my washer's kaput and I need a new washing machine.
Yes.
Now I got more $100
for anybody to walk through your door. Yep.
More fucking guys coming next week to bring me a new washing machine. I have so many goddamn guys coming in and out of here.
You're going to get the COVID.
Like, do those they come fucking in wearing tigers. A mask? No, no mask. He had a beard. Which
sits it. Yeah, you're supposed to shave that beard off. The COVID can sit.
You have beards.
Right, yeah, now. Travis, I've been shaving.
Whew.
Like a weirdo.
I would do just for your well-being and with like a lot of workplaces are doing for delivery men and things, you need to draft yourself up like a contract, like a I don't have COVID contract that everybody who enters your home signs, like I haven't been out of the country, I haven't been on a cruise, I haven't been in these these high dense areas of COVID community spread. And that way, if one of these motherfuckers that comes into your house gives you COVID, you can sue the shit out of them.
Well,
it's true.
Travis, how would I know it was him?
Well, how else are you getting
the washing machine guy? They asked me if I have been out of the country, but they didn't tell me if he's been out of the country. That, you know what? All this out of the country shit. At this point, who gives a fuck if you've been out of the country? A lot of people here have it. Like, fuck out of the country. Who cares anymore? We have more cases than anybody.
I think that has kind of gone out the window. Like, now,
the forms have changed.
Yeah. Who gives a fuck if you've been outside of the country? There's like,
that's what I'm saying. This is a form unique to your household.
Right.
And
have
what
you been
feel
out of the city?
Right. Have you left this block in the past 24 hours?
Anybody coughed on you recently?
Yeah. Have you coughed on anybody? Has anybody sneezed on you? Have you eaten unsavory food from a truck?
The whole thing
doesn't seem that they were very sanitary.
The whole thing, Travis, is a bunch of fucking theater is what it is. Like, we're doing all these, taking all these precautions, and people are doing this. Have you been out of the country shit? It doesn't fucking matter. You're going to get it if you're going to get it.
No, that doesn't make any fucking sense at all. What do you mean you're going to get it if you're going to get it?
It's all theater, Matt. Like at my work, like order an extra trash bag so that we can like put our stuff in trash bags. To keep people from like breathing on our stuff. So now like we're just all hanging all our stuff in trash bags all the time. You take it out of the trash bag and like you put it on, you wear it around, and it doesn't fucking matter. It's out there in the world.
It's not perfect by any means, but I think any precaution that we can take at this point, with as fast as this thing accelerates, it's insane. Like,
nobody knows shit about shit though.
Yeah, but
there's so much misinformation out there, and everybody's saying, oh, it can stay on surfaces for a week. And some people are saying, oh, it can stay on surfaces for an hour. Nobody fucking knows shit. It's all made up.
We don't know, but we should at least take the precautions just in case. And then when we find out, we could, look back and go, okay, well, that was pointless. But wouldn't you rather find out that what you were doing was pointless rather than, oh, shit, I wasn't doing this? Like the CDC for the longest time was like, you don't need to wear masks. And then recently they were like, actually, guys, you should be wearing masks.
So they're just making it
fuck
up as they go.
Fuck it. Let's open the beaches back up. There's no shark in that water.
That's right.
You know who's probably...
Come on, man.
You know who... Drunk, tell the people who's probably not wearing a mask.
Carol fucking Baskin.
How many more times can we get drunk to say that before the end of the show, Travis? You think like 3 or 4 more?
Over under on probably 5.
Oh, I love it. Guys,
I'll say it as many times as you want.
Drunk, give us one more before break.
Carol fucking Baskin.
Nice.
Nice. Guys, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking to Lou Brutus. He has a new book coming out called My Life as a Rock and Roll Reprobate. I've been practicing that word, man.
You have been. Good job. First shot.
Did I do it good? Reprobate?
You did it. Don't say it anymore because you'll fuck it up.
God,
you did it
for the first time. I hope when I introduce, like when the pressure's on, I hope I don't fuck it up, Travis. Reprobate.
My life is a rock and roll repo man.
Repo man. Guys, we'll be right back.
WFOP. People suck. All people suck. Every last person on the planet sucks. You suck. I suck. Your mom sucks. That guy who was ahead of you in traffic today, he sucks. They all suck. Do you know why they suck? Because everything they do sucks. Their lives suck. Their lying sucks. Their backstabbing sucks. Their selfishness sucks. Their non-stop sucking sucks. Spinning around in a circle. That sucks big time. All of creation is nothing more than a great big sucky suckathon of sucking suction that sucks the suctaceous suckiness into an even more sucktastic suckagogo of sucking sexuality. If life were a concert, it would be called Suckapalooza. Do you know why? Because it sucks! Except Zooey Deschanel. Zooey Deschanel is really, really cute. But everything else sucks!
The Cutting Edge.
There is no radio station kicks as much ass as you all do.
Online and on your smartphone.
Strangelabel.com.
Here's my story. It's all true. It's about a hustler that I once knew. He bought a comic book and turned it around to any other guy in town.
Hey, 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 whoa. Hey, 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 whoa, hey, whoa, hey, whoa, hey, whoa, 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 whoa,
yeah, I should have known it from the start. He'll leave you with the full card. He'll buy a bowl made of clay and turn it on eBay. It's my Garbage Pail Kids and my Thanos fist. He sold them all on Craigslist. If you don't want to put them in a bad mood, you'll give 5 stars to the turnaround dude. He likes to thrift around. Yeah, he'll buy it and he'll turn it around. Now people, let me put you wise. Yeah, he sells to the other guys. It's the moral of the story from the one who knows. He buys stuff and his collection grows. Ask anyone that he ever knew. Give 5 stars to the turnaround dude.
As you requested. Once again, WFOD, Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks.
Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is a legendary radio personality. His new memoir, Sonic Warrior, My Life as a Rock and Roll Reprobate, is available April 14th. Lou Brutus is on the program. Lou, how's it going, man?
Hey, pretty good. How are you?
Pretty good. We're having technical difficulties.
I just explained to him that this does happen often with Skype. Yeah.
I'm doing this 40 years. Trust me, nobody understands this more than I do. So do whatever you got to do. I was just telling Travis, my night's all wrapped up with everything else, so I got plenty of time for fun.
So
we like fun.
Whoa, drunk. That's hot there, drunk.
Drunk, you weren't hot before. Why are you hot now? See, what the hell's going on? You were working.
Back up, man.
I'm just wearing headphones.
You know what it is? It's all this social distancing. We're trying out new things. Drunk's on Skype.
So, you want me to call back?
No.
Actually, you sound okay now, drunk.
Okay.
I think we're
just coming in hot. You're excited to be joined back into the call. So, all right, Mike, here we are. I think we're all here.
Lou, how's it going, man?
Pretty good. A little bit tired, a little bit crazy. But other than that.
Do you have corona? You're tired? That's a symptom.
Is it a symptom?
No, I've just got a book coming out.
Yeah, he's putting a book out.
You know, 45 jobs to do, you know.
The book comes out today. Or no, it comes out next week. Next Tuesday.
Yeah, the book is out officially on Tuesday. The folks who pre-ordered it from the publisher, those were special signed editions that came with extras. And those I know have already been arriving. They went out a little bit early. But for folks who order Sonic Warrior through, you know, Barnes & Noble or Amazon, those will hit next week with the release day being Tuesday. And that's the same day the audiobook is going to be out, which is me narrating the entire book of all these crazy ass rock and roll stories. And, you know, folks can get that through wherever they get audiobooks. So, Audible, Kindle, Google Play, iTunes. If you want to hear me talk about seeing people do drugs and vomit for 7 hours, well then by God, you're in luck. If you want to self-isolate with crazy rock and roll stories, Tuesday is your lucky day.
I imagine being a radio guy and like people typically hearing your voice, that would probably be the preferred delivery method, wouldn't you think, is the audiobook?
Yeah. And it's funny you say that too. One of the most common things from anyone who has read the book so far, and it's a quick read. It's what I would normally, you know, consider a summer read, because it's all just short, crazy, kind of funny stories. Everybody has said, well, when I'm reading it, I hear it in your voice. I hear it in your voice, which is a really good sign.
Yeah.
Because each of these stories I've told literally hundreds of times to friends. They're, you know, like rock and roll war stories. So I would want people to hear them in my voice. It's written as if I was standing with you at the bar. And what we would normally do after a show is do a bunch of shots and everybody trades their crazy rock and roll stories. I just happen to have maybe more and crazier ones than most people, just because I'm doing this for so long around so many people, you know.
So Lou, is it more of a book of like essays of different stories, or is there a narrative through line of with your career, or is it just like some crazy stories?
No, it's there's no rhyme or reason to it. There's about two dozen stories in it, two dozen chapters. Each is a standalone story, and there's no chronological order to it. I really wanted it to feel like we were standing at the bar talking. And if you're standing at the bar and you're swapping crazy stories with somebody, particularly rock and roll stories, no one is going in a, you know, well, and then in 1992, I was here. And then in 1994, I did this, you know, it jumps around. But with each one being self-contained, you can blast through a chapter and it stands on its own. The reactions and the reviews so far have been off the scale, which is somewhat pleasantly surprising to me. it's people are getting out of it what I had hoped that they would, which is, you know, it's not a scandalous tell-all book. I could have written a book like that. I've seen enough people, rock stars, do things, but I don't want to be a jerk.
Maybe you could write a tell-all book and just not name the names. Because they're probably good stories,
there's
right?
There's a bit in that in there, and it's not like, and then I saw Mr. X do a line of blow. there's ways to write around that. But honest to God, I made a conscious effort when I sat down to actually do the book. I talked about it for years and had a number of people harangue me. You got to do a book. You got to do a book. I want it to be funny, but I don't want it to be at the expense of others. If anybody looks like a dumbass in this book, it's me. And trust me, there are plenty of points where I look like a dumbass.
Well, and you're still in the business, too. So it's not like you want to burn any bridges or anything. Is that something you've thought about in the future doing? Burning some bridges?
It's funny. I never thought of that. And I've had a number of people bring it up in interviews. It's like, boy, when you retire, you could write the craziest book. And I'm still like, nah, I don't want to do that.
So I guess my next question of who's the biggest dickhead would not be fruitful. You probably won't tell us. Like, who's the biggest dickhead you've ever interviewed?
Let me think for a minute. I mean, I've met people. You're not going to like everybody that you meet.
Right.
Most everybody is pretty decent, because what you find is most of the real jackholes, they weed themselves out of the business. Nobody wants to be in a band with somebody like that. Nobody wants to manage somebody like that. And yeah, there are big stars who can probably kind of be jerks now and then, but anybody can be a jerk now and then, depending on when you catch them. There's really nobody I badmouth in the book. There was one radio station I worked at that was really horrific, and I slightly referenced that. And I only do that because I had to set up the story for where I was and what I was doing at the time of the rock star incursion. Pretty much most of the chapters are built around, because I've been traveling around the world since 1976 was my first concert, and I started going to concerts super, super young. And I've been to north of 3,000 live shows around the world. So, most of these stories are built around live music events, almost 100%. So, even if you can't get out to concerts now, you can read about them. But again, back to your original point. Yeah, there's some jerks now and then, but, I don't want to dwell on jerks on a regular day. Right. I certainly don't want to draw attention to them in my book.
What was your first concert, Lou?
My first concert, and actually it's the opening chapter of the book. The chapter is entitled "The Time I Attended My First Concert and Threw Up on Carlos Sanchez." And Carlos was my older sister Patty's boyfriend, and I begged and pleaded with them, and finally talked them into letting little brother tag along to see Black Sabbath and Ted Nugent at Madison Square Garden in New York City.
Nice.
And I honest to God, I was really sick with the flu. But I didn't want to miss my first concert. So I went to school that day, because if I missed school, mom and dad wouldn't let me go to the show.
Right.
And we took the bus up from, I grew up in a little town called Englishtown, New Jersey. And I took the bus up to New York with my sister and her boyfriend. And we went into the show, and in the excitement of the moment, oh, I'm at the concert. Even though I was really sick, I thought it would be an awesome idea to guzzle an entire bottle of Boone's Farm strawberry wine in one throw. That is, as I know now, not a good thing to do. So what happens, long story short, boil the chapter down, I pass out, I miss Black Sabbath, they wake me up at the end of the show, we're packed in like sardines trying to get out of Madison Square Garden at the end of the show, and suddenly I feel a need to vomit. And we're packed in. So Carlos is walking in front of me, and he's, it's 1976. So he's wearing one of these brown Marlboro Man coats, popular at the time. And I tug on the sleeve, because I know instinctively, if I tug on the sleeve, Carlos is going to know, oh, Lou is about to toss his cookies. I got to get out of the way.
That's the code.
I tug really quick on his sleeve. Well, of course he doesn't turn around. He does what anybody, he doesn't run out of the way. He does what anybody would do when you tug on their sleeve. He stops, he turns around and goes, what the hell do you want? And he did. And then I vomited all over him. And then I started vomiting all over everybody else and vomiting all over Madison Square Garden. And I end up in the bathroom, which is filled with other 12 and 13-year-old kids from the New York metropolitan area. And each and every one of us is puking our friggin' brains out. And that was my introduction to concerts. And then I thought, well, this is all I want to do is go to concerts. So that's how the book starts. That's sort of the autobiographical, introductory chapter. And, And then after that, pretty much everything is out of my career. And there's chapters like the time I went to the Arctic and got in a mosh pit with a bunch of kids in polar bear fur while Metallica sang about sodomizing a goat. And that's about Metallica bringing me with them to the Arctic to the Molson Ice Polar Beach Party in an Inuit village called Tuktoyaktuk.
I got a kick out of the Gene Simmons chapter. That was the one I liked. The Gene Simmons chapter.
Yeah. The time that Gene Simmons proved himself to be the hottest bowler in all the land. and you know, I've been a Kiss fan since my second concert was actually a couple of months after the Black Sabbath show. It was also at Madison Square Garden. It was Kiss on the Rock and Roll Over Tour. Sammy Hagar opened. Kiss had never played Madison Square Garden before. They said, we're not going to play it until we can headline it and sell it out clean. So on a Sunday night, February 77, Kiss played the Garden. My cousin Tommy scored a pair of tickets. The tickets were impossible to get. And it's still one of the greatest nights of my life. That show is still one of the most exciting things I've ever seen. Anyway, Kiss has been very nice to me through my career. I when they broke the news about the reunion tour in 96, Gene did it on my show. Like, you know, they know I'm a big fan and I've supported them a lot. So they make sure I'm around for a lot of their cool stuff. Anyway, the chapter that you kindly brought up, they were on an off night from the Hot in the Shade tour. And Gene called me the week before and said, well, this is Gene Simmons from Kiss. Is Lou there? And hey, Gene, yeah. Well, we're doing a concert in town next week. And I'm like, yeah, Gene, it's kind of a big deal. And he said, well, I'm going to be in town the night before. Would you like to hang out and do guy stuff? And long story, the chapter's very long, but I end up going bowling with Gene Simmons. And Gene Simmons is the most incredible bowler you have ever seen. Everything he throws is a strike. We're in the Cranston Bowl, a bowling alley in one of the suburbs of Providence, Rhode Island, Cranston, Rhode Island.
That sounds nice.
And they cleared off a couple of lanes for us. And it's a gorgeous old historic bowling alley. It was really a cool place. And the owner there at the time was just a really nice older guy. And he just gave us the run of the place. And his staff hung out and watched. Gene signed autographs for everybody. It was really just an awesome night. But every time Gene threw a ball, it's a strike. And then he started doing trick shots behind his back, blindfolded, two balls crisscrossing three times on the way down to another strike.
Now, Lou, are you exaggerating? Is this like a tall tale, like a Paul Bunyan?
Absolutely not. No, these are not everything. Every one of these stories has other people who were there. And again, I've been around all these people for the last 40 years of my professional life. I've got enough material for two or three other books. These are just the ones that happen to make it into the first one.
Blindfolded?
The people who were there.
Blindfolded.
What's that?
Blindfolded?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Everything's a strike. And then finally, Gene walks over. We're in between frames. And I said, Gene, how the hell did you get so good? And he looked at me and said, Lou, Paul and I have been on the road some 30 years. We neither drink nor take drugs. There's nothing else to effing do out here. and it sounds funny, and it is, but it's also very true. When you think about artists on the road, you think, oh, you're in New York. Oh, it's so cool. Oh, you're in L.A. Well, a lot of times you're out in God knows where and you're stuck at a Holiday Inn Express. Nothing against Holiday Inn Expresses. They're quite nice. But, you know, you're in towns where there's nothing to do. You got the afternoon off because you got to play at night. What are you going to do? You go to the bowling alley. You go to the movie.
And every town's got a bowling alley.
And every town has a bowling alley. And after he said that, he said, I don't mean to sound like a braggart, but I'm also the best darts player you've ever met. And I've also seen every major motion picture released since 1974. And it's very much like Groundhog Day. Like, are you going to get wasted every day? Or are you going to do like Bill Murray? Are you going to like get really good at throwing cards or finding some other thing to do? You know? So, I know a lot of the stuff in the book. You know, some of it sounds crazy, you know, but it's all honest to God truth. There's a chapter in there. It's the next to last chapter. It's entitled The Time I Was Backstage. And it was exactly like what people think backstage is like, but usually never is. By the way, I think you've picked up on the fact that the chapters all have long involved titles. Anyway, this was about Ozzfest in 2000, and I traveled to Camden, New Jersey, Philadelphia, to cover it, and I was going to go out and watch Ozzy. And as I was on my way to the stage, I walked past Pantera's dressing room. And you guys know, when you go backstage at a show, it's the most boring place to be. There's nothing going on. There's a, you know, production offices, some dressing rooms. There's nothing going on. Everybody's on their phones. Everybody's doing business. People are there to work. There's no big party. Not this night. This night, Pantera had so many people crammed in their dressing room that I had to, like, shoulder my way in. And the door to the little bathroom connected to the dressing room opens up. There's a woman with her pants pulled down, with her naked ass across the toilet, and there were two guys and a couple of girls in there using her ass as a table to do lines from. And then inside the room, everybody's got a button. Now, swear to God, true. I did an interview. I taped an interview this afternoon with Sully Erna from Godsmack. I referenced Sully in the chapter. He comes up to me with a bottle. I didn't remember what kind of booze it was. Sully remembered. He came up to me with a bottle of booze and tried to get me to drink it. And I passed on it because I had to drive. And he sort of good-naturedly cursed me and busted my chops. But I asked Sully about the chapter today. He's like, oh, I don't remember much from 2000. Yeah, that was Crown Royal. That was definitely Crown Royal. But I also had run into, I did the first reading for the book at a big media convention called Happens in Las Vegas right before the virus hit. I was supposed to be on a big book tour next week, and of course that's postponed. Yeah. Which, again, if that's the biggest problem I got to deal with through all this, I'm a very lucky guy. I'm not trying to be snarky at what's going on now, but I ran into a friend of mine, a legendary woman in the recording industry named Cheryl Valentine. And I looked at her and said, hey, were you in Pantera's dressing room? She said, oh, in 2000. Oh my God. Everybody was so wasted. And she remembered more about it than I did. Like, there was a rock star in there, and he kept slapping this friend of mine on her ass. She had a great ass. She did. And she had on tight black leather pants. And a particular rock star in there who goes unnamed because he was and still is married to the same person he was back in 2000, kept slapping her ass. So and the smack that the open palm of his hand made on the leather of her ample behind, I still remember the sound this day. Charlotte remembered it too. It was actually a good thing to kind of stumble across. But again, originally, back to your point, I refer to, while I don't drop a name here and there, depending on, I don't want to get somebody in trouble, like with their wife or their husband or with their management or whatever it may be. But other than that, I name all the names of who's there, you know. If anybody does anything for 30 or 40 years, and I don't care if you're a truck driver, a teacher, a bartender, it doesn't matter what you do. If you do anything for several decades, you are going to see a lot of crazy stuff.
Oh,
sure. It just so happens the crazy stuff that I see happens around a lot of famous rock stars at concerts. You know, that's the only difference.
Well, speaking of Lou, you mentioned that you're supposed to be on this this book tour and things. Like, how else is this? This has got to be impacting your career in other ways, because a lot of the content that you provide is with bands that are going on tour or bands behind the, you know, backstage at concerts, after shows. Like, how is this changing your day-to-day career?
Not as much as you'd think. It's just the way the content is coming is a little bit different now. I've been set up for many years. I have a home studio. I prefer to do things face-to-face with artists, of course. So I travel to a lot of shows. Obviously, there are no shows now. But I do interviews all the time. I tie in via ISDN lines or through phone lines and get on with people. In that respect, I'm doing more interviews the last couple of weeks than I had previously up to then in all of 2020.
Because the artists have nothing to do.
That's just it. Everybody is home.
Nobody can say they're busy.
So, you know, just in the last few days, I've interviewed Sully Erna, Five Finger Death Punch. I've probably done six major rock star interviews so far this week. Because again, they just sit at home and they're like, "Who am I? Oh, I got to call good old New Brutus. I'm going to call New Brutus now." You know, and again, I know most of these people, you know, for a long time, and a lot of them I've played since they were baby bands. So, you know, I'm a pretty well known quantity with a lot of folks. Luckily for me, So I'm able to get everybody. And, you know, the rock stars are like anybody else. They're trapped at home and they're looking for stuff to do. And a lot of them have albums out now. So, you know, they want to get the word out on their records, which normally would happen on the road, but that can't happen now. So, you know, for me, and again, I'm going to repeat what I said earlier. If I'm able to get through all of this, and the worst thing I've had to deal with is a postponed book tour, hey man, no problem. Like I'll take that deal of the cards 1,000 times out of 1,000. You know, I assume I'll eventually be able to get back out on the road and do the book tour and read to everybody and sign with everybody and do all that stuff. The one appearance I did do was in Vegas, and it was great because I do an overview of the book. Each chapter has an illustration to it done by my old friend, my graphics artist for decades, Alan McBain, very Mad Magazine-esque depictions of the action in each chapter. Overview of the book, illustrations, read from chapters, do a Q&A. It really, is really something I was looking forward to, but it'll happen when it happens. I can't change this stuff going on. So, you know, you play the cards that you're dealt.
Yeah.
When it happens, I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. In the meantime, people are trapped at home and they're looking for stuff to read. So, you know, I don't look at charts a lot or anything, but my, the publicity people from my publisher, Rare Bird Books, you know, I get emails, hey, you're number one punk rock related bio on the new stuff on Amazon today, you know, stuff like, you know, so you get stuff like that. So I assume that's all good.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Sounds great.
Yeah. A bunch of people like yourself have been kind enough to put me on the air and let me squawk about this stuff. And, it's been a long time coming. Corey Taylor, who figures into a couple of the chapters, was kind enough to write the foreword. He's got several books. He's a great writer. His books are really great. He had been one of the people who really sort of, good-naturedly busted my chops through the years. You know, you got to write a book. Dude, if anybody writes a book, you got to write a book. Write the book. Where's the book? And finally I said, I'll write the book. You write the foreword. If I'm going to write the book, you're going to write the foreword. He's like, I'll write the foreword. You write the effing book. I'll write the foreword. So finally, like a year and a half ago, a little less than that, he came to me and said, hey, I got the foreword all ready to go. It's all on my head. Where's the book? And I sort of hemmed and hawed. And I said, I got more chapters I want to add. I want to make it longer. And he looks at me like I am like the dumbest guy on the planet. And he said, you effing idiot. You're just write another book. Get the first one out with what you like. He's explaining to me like I'm 2 years old. He's like, how stupid are you? Because I'd never dawned on me. I just thought I'll write a book. We'll see how this one does. I've already started to write out the chapters of what would be in the next book. If you want, I can tell you some of the chapter titles.
Yeah, let's run them down.
The titles of them.
Absolutely.
Hold on, I got to open up that file here on my.
The Trevor's Lou's already teasing the next book.
Yeah,
Lou's selling this book. He's teasing the next book
again. You can choose to, you can choose to sit around on your ass and watch Tiger King while you're self-isolating, or you can get to work on some projects, So I just figured I'd work on projects.
You're a better man than I am, Lou. I always said if I had the extra time, I'd get in shape and I'd get on those outlines of books that I also wanted to write. And I've watched Tiger King 3 times. So,
yeah, but and I haven't watched, I've never seen an episode of that. I've never seen an episode of the Kardashians. That's not the kind of thing I go in for. And other people, I don't care. Whatever you like.
So, Lou, you're saying that you don't have much of a taste for pure garbage, is what you're saying? Like just trash TV.
I went through a phase a few weeks ago. I discovered this old sitcom from 1967 that ran one season. I want to say on CBS. It was called Good Morning World, and it was about two wacky morning DJs in Los Angeles, and it's very kitschy and very late 60s mod, You can find it on Amazon Prime. If you are familiar with film and TV of the time, you will recognize a lot of the actors. The one guy, what's his name? Billy DeVette, I think. Billy DeWitt. You might not recognize his face, but the minute he says his first words, he plays the owner and the program director of the radio station. And the minute you hear his voice, you will recognize him as the guy who did the voice of the evil magician who steals Frosty's hat in Frosty the Snowman that they show every year around Christmas.
Of course, right? As soon as you hear it, you say, oh, so that's the guy walks on screen. That's a magician guy. I remember him.
Yeah, exactly. I swear to God, he said one syllable. I just went, it's the guy who stole Frosty's hat. I swear to God. And it was a nice little show. Again, it only ran one season. I think the most famous person to come out of it, pre-Ronan Martin's Laughing, Goldie Hawn plays the wacky upstairs neighbor best friend of the wife. And Goldie Hawn, who is one of the most beautiful women to ever live, she's just beautiful, and she looks like Maude 60s in it. And it's a fun little show. And certainly, if you got some downtime to watch something mindless that's happy, then this show will do it. Again, if I remember correctly, it's called Good Morning World, and it's on Amazon Prime. But anyway, here's some of the chapters, and I gave you some of the chapters for the book that's coming out on Tuesday. If and when I get around to a second book, some of the chapter titles will include The Time Eddie Van Halen Named His Band After Me. And that was a true story. Eddie Van Halen put together a one-off charity band to raise money for his friend Jason Becker. This was done at the Riviera Theater in Chicago. And I was supposed to go on vacation with my wife for her birthday. And we canceled the trip because Eddie's people had called me up and said, well, we'd like you to MC this show. And I'm like, wow, I'd be honored to do it. It's for a great cause. And Eddie caught wind of me canceling, and he apologized to my wife, and he's really a sweet guy, but he didn't have a name for the band. So he and the rest of the band, it was made up of Eddie Van Halen, Pat Torpey, Steve Lukather, and Billy Sheehan. And they did instrumentals, and they just shredded. They were great. But the night before the show, they were live on the air with me, and we took callers for a couple of hours, hour or two, with band name suggestions. And finally, Eddie said, you know, you're so nice to cancel your vacation. I'm going to name the band after you. We're going to call it the Lou Brutus Experience. And I thought he was pulling my leg, and I got to the show that night, and he gave my wife a big hug and apologized for her again. He couldn't have been nicer about the whole thing. And I said, seriously, dude, how do you want to come on stage? How do you want me to introduce you? And he pointed to his bodyguard, who was this guy who looked like he could squeeze me like a grape. And he said, if you don't introduce us as the Lou Brutus Experience, this man here is going to beat your ass to a pulp. And I said, oh, okay, well, so welcome. Let's welcome the Lou Brutus Experience. So that's one chapter. There's another one entitled The Time I Danced on Hitler's Grave with Pink Floyd. And that's about attending and actually covering spending the week with Roger Waters and his band in Berlin, where they performed The Wall at the Berlin Wall. Wow. With I don't know what the crowd was, like 750,000 people or something. I'll throw a couple other quick.
Does Hitler have a grave?
Titles at you.
Hitler has a grave?
Well, Hitler, technically, no. He died. He shot himself and ate cyanide in the bunker. I think he did both. They took the remains of he and his wife Eva Braun. Put him in a shallow pit, covered him in gasoline, burned the bodies. And then I think they covered them up. I think the Russian. So this area, this no man's land, was that area where he had been. This is the no man's land in between East and West Berlin, East and West Germany. Brandenburg Gate was at the center. They cleared out that area after the wall went down the previous year, and were able to use it for this concert venue. So here was Roger Waters, a guy whose father was killed fighting the Nazis, literally having a million people dance on Hitler's grave with an anti-fascist album in The Wall. It was pretty spectacular. And I attended the dress rehearsals. The first of which was, there were two of them. The second one, there were maybe, I forget, maybe 500 people at. I'd have to go back and, when I write the chapter, I'll research it. But the first night of rehearsals where they did the full show, and this thing was a football field wide, and they had puppets and balloons on, you know, the cranes that they built skyscrapers. It was crazy. They did the show the first night, the first dress rehearsal. I think there were less than 40 of us there. And I knew somebody in Roger's band, a great guitar player by the name of Rick DeFonso, who I knew from his Philadelphia bass band, the A's, when I began doing radio at WMMR in Philadelphia when I was a kid. And he helped get me in. I was also friends with a real good friend of Roger's, a great radio guy, a phenomenal fellow who's still in the business by the name of Ray White. So I ended up, you know, drinking with the band at the Intercontinental after the rehearsals and breakfast with them the day of the show and big party afterwards. It was really an exciting time. And I'll give you one other chapter title. It's probably the least likely sounding one, but I swear to God, it's true. The title is enchaptered, "The Time I Turned Down a Private Luncheon with Pope John Paul II because I had to hang out with Ozzy Osbourne." And I had an invite from my cousin. And my cousin Tommy is, he's a doctor. Family, we're from Newark, New Jersey originally. My cousin's still up in that area. And he has a string of, you know, I was going to say offices throughout northern New Jersey. He's pretty well off, and he's a great guy. He's like the most charismatic human being you'll ever meet, my cousin Tommy. Anyway, on his mom's side of the family, there are a number of people in the church. Long story short, he ends up befriending people in the Vatican, and including the Vatican banker at the time. So he, on many occasions, got in to hang out with Pope John Paul II. So one day my phone rings, and it's my cousin, and he said, "Lou, what are you doing next weekend? I got a surprise. Oh, my God, I'm flying you to Rome. I'm having a private lunch with Pope John Paul II, and you're going to be my guest." And I said, "Tommy, I got to fly to Texas to interview Ozzy Osbourne. I can't change it. Sharon Osbourne will kill me. I can't do it any other time. It's the beginning of Ozfest. I got to be." And he's like, "Cuz, it's the Pope. You can't turn down lunch with the Pope. You're going to the Vatican to meet the Pope." And I'm like, "Can't do it. I got to meet the Prince of Darkness." And the story goes on. But the culmination of the story is, years later, I'm walking on the field before the game at a Washington Nationals game in D.C. For folks who don't know, I do a lot of photography. Most of it's, of course, music-based because I get to do that, but I also like lighthouses. But I've been an on-field photographer, MLB photographer, for the last – this would have been, I think, my 11th or 12th season. I don't know that I'll make it out this season for obvious reasons. But anyway – my cousin was friends with one of the pitchers from the Nationals. So he was at the field on the game that day. So I walk on the field, and there's my cousin Tommy talking to a priest. And this is the priest that's going to give the, you know, the blessing for the team members before they hit the field. And I walk over and I'm like, "Hey, Tommy, good to see you." And my cousin turns to the priest and goes, "Oh, Father, this is my cousin. This is the one I told you about." And the priest, his face drops and his jaw hits the ground. And he looks at me, he goes, "Dear God, he actually exists? You weren't kidding?" And my cousin said, "No, it's all true." And the priest looked at me like the priest doesn't know what to do with himself. And he said, "You turned down lunch with His Holiness John Paul II for Ozzy Osbourne?" And I went, "Yes, Father, I did." And he backs away from me. And as he backs away, he raises up his hand and starts blessing me as he backs away. I thought if he had had holy water, I think he would have doused me with it.
you've been absolved.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, does that absolve him, Travis, or you think he's probably still hellbound?
Nope. That's absolution.
I don't know if that was absolution or excommunication. To be honest with you, it could have gone either way. You couldn't blame the guy.
I do love how on the nose your chapter titles are. I do like you set it up. You kind of know what you're going to get, and then you lay it out.
Coming back from break, we come back to a song, and I pick up out the song every week. And knowing your pedigree, I took an extra long time to try to figure out what song I could play that, like, what song do you play that Lou's gonna think is cool and. Like then
ooh,
you didn't even then you didn't
ooh,
even
get, I'm, okay now so, now you're talking
but this, the thing is Lou. Is you didn't even hear the song because you didn't hear the song because we had technical difficulties. But like, I guess the question that I have is like, what would have been the right song, Lou? What song could I have played that you would have been like, oh, this guy's got good taste?
That's a great question. That's a really well thought question. That's awesome. For obvious reasons, because it's the song that figures most prominently, a single song in a chapter. In the Metallica chapter where I'm in the Arctic with them, and actually
Metallica.
The song lyric is referenced in the chapter title. Again, the chapter title is "The Time I Went to the Arctic and Got in a Mosh Pit with a Bunch of Kids in Polar Bear Fur While Metallica Sang About Sodomizing a Goat." The last song that they played on the set, and again, this is, most people would say Eskimo, but that's really not a cool term. Inuit are the native people at the top of the world. And the closing song was a cover song. It was an old sort of pub rock punk song from a band called the Anti-Nowhere League. And it has the most grotesquely offensive lyrics ever in history. The song is called So What. But I could definitely see you not playing So What on the radio because it's just filthy obscene.
No, I went with Sabbath. I went with Sabbath. I thought
Sabbath is great. What Sabbath song? What Sabbath song?
I went with The Wizard, and see, there was a reason.
That's one of my favorite Sabbath songs. Never talking.
Well, because I didn't want to like go like, you know, one of the radio singles, because then you'd be like, oh, this is radio singles. Yeah, I tried to I don't know too much. See, I put way too much thought into this, Lou, and so I was...
Stop. Don't say that. You can never put too much work into planning out what songs to play on the radio or what songs to play for a special occasion. And The Wizard was a perfect... It's like a top five Sabbath song for me. I'll give you a couple of guesses. I'll bet you cannot guess my absolute favorite Sabbath song.
Ooh.
I'll give you a hint. It is probably unlike most every other Sabbath song.
I don't know.
It's a song on the Paranoid album. It's called Planet Caravan. And it's really just this super mellow, dreamy song. And I imagine it's about traveling the stars. And I just remember being 14 years old and doing bong hits and listening to this song over and over again on 8-track tape and thinking how awesome it would be to like travel in between stars. I swear to God, that's what I would be doing if I could. I'd be like a space trucker. But yeah, that's my favorite Sabbath song. The only other song that would have been super cool, but it's totally obscure. Nobody's ever heard of it. In the very beginning of the book, I use a quote, a lyric from a song written by the late, great Neil Innes, who he worked with Monty Python's Flying Circus. He was one of the guys who founded a Beatles comedy group called The Ruddles with Eric Idle from Monty Python. The song is called My Little Ukulele. And I just thought the lyrics summed up my career really well, because I'm not famous, but I'm around all this kind of famous stuff going on. And the lyric that I used is, all the world's a stage, they say, and I've seen many things, standing with my little ukulele in the wings. And I needed to get permission to use that in the book. And I was reaching out to Neil Innes. He and I, we've got some friends in common. We had met and had dinner before, but I hadn't spoken to him in like 10 years. Finally, after like close to 2 years trying to get him, he answers me back, gives me permission, wishes me well with the book. And he passed away like 2 or 3 weeks later. And I was very, he was one of the funniest people I ever met in my life and one of the most talented. And I was glad to get his sign off prior to the book coming out, because I didn't want to use any other lyrics. I wanted to use that song. So
guys, the book is called Sonic Warrior, My Life as a Rock and Roll Reprobate. Reprobate. It's a tough word to make me lose.
You did it right the first time, Mike. You didn't need
reprobate. Travis,
yeah.
Did I do it right?
Reprobate. You know what put me in the head of using reprobate, right?
To make people Google
it's
it?
It's a scene from a movie. No. Well, I like the alliteration, rock and roll reprobate. That sounds kind of cool, if strange. But the best known use of the word reprobate in pop culture that I've ever seen or heard is in, it's a favorite film of mine, Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh my
and
God.
It's Christopher yeah. Lloyd. It's Christopher Lloyd as Judge Doom. And I'll let me try. I used to be able to do a pretty good impression of him. It's been a while, though. It might not be so good. Let me try and do the scene. The merry-go-round broke down. There's quite a loony selection for a group of drunken reprobates. The rabbit is here! And I just thought, reprobate, rock and roll. Well, I'm a degenerate rock and roller. Okay, so yeah.
As soon as you said Who Framed Roger Rabbit, that scene came up in my head. It's so funny. We were talking about the word reprobate before the show, and I'm like, God, I don't think I've ever heard that word. And we were Googling it.
Oh, no, I know.
And now that you said, Now that you said Who Framed Roger Rabbit, it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, the barroom scene, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Shaving a haircut.
Shave and a haircut. I wish they had done another one. Boy, that you know, the film was better than the book. I read the book last year.
Wait, there's a Who Framed Roger Rabbit book?
Oh, yeah. It was based on a book. Wait, I'm looking around. I'm in my library right now. Hold on. I don't know where the hell I have a massive library, and it's a home studio library. I don't know where it is. I don't think it was called Who Framed Roger Rabbit. It was called something else. Is it over in this stack over here? I don't think so.
Toontown something.
No. I think it was something more oddball. I don't know. God, I'm literally, I'm surrounded by 1,000 or 2,000 books. So it's kind of hard to find in here. Maybe it's over in this shelf with the cartoony. Maybe I'll put the Roger Rabbit book with the cartoon and comic book stuff. Nope, don't see it.
You have to. If you find it, you'll have to email
book,
Mike.
But the film is a lot more fun.
Yeah, you'll have to email Mike what the title is. Email Mike what the title is of the book when you find it, because I'm very curious.
Yeah. And it's worth reading. It's good. It's just not as great as the film. I think the film is just a real genius piece of work, and it's got great voice work from the people who did the cartoons. You know, that's a film that's worth reading up on, just because everything that they did to include all the cartoon characters they needed to. They even included Felix the Cat, who was one of the most famous early cartoon stars. They couldn't get the rights, but the people who couldn't give them the rights said, hey, if you sneak Felix in, we'll be okay with it. So if you look, when Eddie crashes his car outside the tunnel that leads to Toontown, right above the tunnel, Felix the Cat's face is etched in the stone. And there's a million other little Easter eggs in the movie, you know, with graffiti on the wall where they work cartoon mess. It's just the whole film is genius.
Lou, so, I got to tell you, when we booked you, I didn't think we were going to get to Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, you never know where it goes. But again,
we've been on a journey.
It all comes out of music. It all comes out of rock and roll, you know?
Guys, the book is called Sonic Warrior, My Life as a Rock and Roll Reprobate. Nice. It's going to be in bookstores April 14th. It's at Lou Brutus on Twitter. And you got the Instagram and all that, Lou. You on it all?
Yeah, and Instagram and the Lou Brutus Rocks Facebook page. They all got that blue checkmark crap on them, so they're easy enough to find. And I know it's difficult for people to get out in person to buy books in a lot of places. And I would prefer people to buy them in bookstores and support bookstores as they should record stores. But Amazon will bring it right to your door. Barnes & Noble, you can do them through the mail. Bookshop.org. And also, again, I've narrated the audiobook, and you can get that on Kindle, Audible, audiobook, Google Play, iTunes, wherever you get books, you can get Sonic Warrior. And again, for as weird a time as this is, and it's super weird, I honest to God hope that the book strikes the right tone for everybody, and it gives you a break and gives you a laugh. And it also gives you it's a very honest look at how incredibly weird and crazy and stupid and fun the rock and roll world is. And, you know, I just hope it gives people a bit of a break from what's going on.
Guys, get it on Amazon. And if your bookstore does curbside, do that. But Lou, we appreciate you spending some time with us. It was fun. We should do it again sometime.
Whenever you want to do it. I could sit and, you know, I love trading wacky stories with people. And yeah. I love talking movies and music. I mean, that's all I do anyway. Thank God I got a job doing this stuff. Or I would have starved to death a long time ago.
That's perfect. This has been a real pleasure, Lou. And yeah, we'll definitely have to do it again.
My honor. And you please let me know whenever I can come back. And watch for the book tour, because I want to get to your area. And the book tour, when it happens, I'm going to be doing book appearances for like years. So, you know, eventually I'm hoping to make it everywhere. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Sounds good. Thanks, Lou.
Have a good night.
You too.
You as well. Thanks.
Travis, I'll tell you what. I like Lou. Lou.
I like Lou. That Lou's got. He's had a hell of a career and continues to, and has a ridiculous amount of stories. Right? I mean, I can't. I don't have four stories that I could tell.
Lou makes it easy, doesn't he, Travis? It's just like, yeah. Hey, Lou, go. Drunk, you got a pick of the week, Drunk?
Coming in hot, fella.
Oh boy,
Jesus,
that's a lot, Drunk.
Right.
Drunk.
Sorry.
Drunk. Pick there of the week. Drunk.
You there?
Yeah.
Hello?
We're here. Yeah,
everybody's here.
We're all yes. here.
We'll come back to you. Matt, pick of the week?
My pick of the week is Lou's book, man. That's what I'm going to throw it at. Jesus Christ.
The guy's got stories, Matt, doesn't he?
I loved listening to him, but yeah, there's just so much. I'm exhausted. I'm tired right now.
Can you imagine living the life that's full of those stories? I think I'd be dead.
He's got a story in the book about he went on tour with Slipknot for a while, and like they hit a guy with their bus or something. I'll tell you what, he didn't even scratch the surface, Matt. The book's pretty wild. I haven't gotten through it yet. We just got it on Friday, but it's a lot. So, pick of the week, Travis. Pick of the week.
Oh, yeah. Travis's pick of the week, since my life is just as exciting. I like to do a lot of binge watching television. So, I needed a new hour long. So, I just started watching yesterday HBO's Succession. And I am already 7 episodes into it. Really good. Not really a comedy drama about this billionaire family that owns this media conglomerate. Great acting. It's riveting. I can't stop. When I start, I want to watch like 3 of them in a row. So Succession on HBO is my pick of the week.
Drunk, you ready? You got a pick of the week, Drunk?
Ozark season 3. Watch it.
I'll tell you that Ruth.
God, I love Ruth.
She's great, isn't she?
I love Ruth.
She's the best character on TV.
Yeah, really. I mean, for years now. Yeah. And I'm finally glad they finally let Ruth get laid this season.
Yeah, good for her.
Spoiler.
Oh, sorry, guys.
I mean, she was due, Matt. You got to throw her a bone eventually, right?
Yeah.
Literally.
Throw her one, you know what I'm saying?
Waka, waka. Mike, what's your pick of the week?
Travis, pick of the week. Oh, God. Do I have a pick of the week? Travis, I don't know if I have one.
Oh, man.
I had plenty of time to think of one, and I never did. We watched, what did we watch?
Oh, boy.
I'm freezing up here.
You're going to start doing a list of the things you've watched over the course of the last 2 weeks?
Boy, he put me on the spot with that Titanic. Black Sabbath.
Did you watch that WrestleMania?
Watch that Dark Side.
24/7 championship.
Dark Side of the Ring was good, I think.
Travis, I blanked on the Black Sabbath thing. He's like, name a Black Sabbath song. I was like, oh
shit.
Iron Man.
Yeah. It could come up with 0 Black Sabbath.
So Lou, you like that Iron Man?
How about Mr. Crowley?
Mr. Crowley! Oh, guys, happy trails to you.
Folks say that
we'll do it again next week.
Found someone new.
Yeah,
stay safe out there.
Take care. God bless you. God bless all of you.
Just call and make sure to sneeze into your elbow.
I'm not ashamed.
Is it in your elbow, Travis?
I'll come running back to you.
Yeah, it's in your elbow, right?
Yeah.
The crook of your arm.
Drunk, gums out, thumbs out.
I can't eat a bite. When you were mine, I didn't treat you.
Hey, Carol Baskin!
Just call my name. I know I'm not ashamed. I'll come running back to you. Just like a king, I've lost everything. I sit all alone on my own. I've got my pride, but deep down inside, I'm yours, and yours alone. Whoa, whoa, I try to forget, have no regrets. This love of ours could always start anew. Just call my name, whoa, I know I'm not ashamed. I'll come running back to you. Just like a king, I've lost everything. I sit all alone on my throne. I've got my pride, but deep down inside, I'm yours and yours alone. Whoa, I try to forget, have no regrets. This love of ours could always start anew. Just call my name, I know I'm not ashamed. I'll come running back to you.
Lots of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself. Bye.